Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. Again, Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go towards the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Again, that was verses 26 through 40, Acts chapter 8. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit who dwells inside of us, who belong to you, who are part of your family, the family of God. Thank you for his ministry and the ways he ministers to us, guides us, counsels us, comforts us, encourages us, and empowers us to be that which you've called us to be. Father, more and more, help us to learn to be wise enough to walk in full cooperation every day with your powerful and blessed Holy Spirit. And help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see that which you'd have us to hear and see. And help us to live continually as available vessels through which you can work each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, it's an honor to have you listening. At this time, our producer, Rick Robertson, is going to share a word of prayer with us as well.
Our Father in heaven, we're thankful that we can come to you today, that we can come boldly before your throne of grace because of Christ and his sacrifice on a terrible cross for sinners like us. Father, we bring our listening family to you today. Such a troubled time in our nation. So many things going on, but a God who's sovereign. So, Father, we pray that you will help our listeners to rest in you, to cling to you, to ask for your guidance through the Holy Spirit, Father, that they would that this would be a sweet season despite the storm, Father. Please draw near to them. Meet their needs, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Rick. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession, and we do appreciate you listening in. Yesterday was Pentecost Sunday, and, you know, it's a special time of year for the church. And, you know, I think of this, you know, one of the beauties of this reason and season of the year in which we celebrate the work and the ministry of our Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, of course, is important to us all year long. but it's helpful for us to better understand who he is, what he comes to do, and what his ministry consists of. And so as we're considering the meaning and the mission behind Pentecost Sunday, we'd like for you to focus on our topic for today. Specifically, we're looking at the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit. Again, the ministry and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's very helpful for us as believers to understand and grasp the work and the way the Holy Spirit works in our lives and through our lives. God wants us to understand how that the life of a believer is to be lived in cooperation with the Holy Spirit, not just from time to time, but moment by moment throughout our days. The Holy Spirit is all about ministry, and every moment of the day, we're to seek to live in such a way that we're available vessels through which the Spirit of God can reach through us to accomplish the perfect will of God. You know, I think of this powerful truth. Jesus' name, of course, his name and title were the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, he will save his people from their sins. And the term Christ refers to Messiah or the Anointed One. And so as we look at the topic of the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit, we want you to grow greatly today in your understanding of how the Holy Spirit is at work and wants to work in us and through us. We're looking in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own language the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless deeds, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life, You will make me full of joy in your presence. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayer. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Verses 1 through 47, all of Acts chapter 2. This powerful chapter is the chapter that basically it would be considered the founding of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the world, the day of Pentecost. And of course, Pentecost Sunday is a celebration, in part, a celebration of the founding of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But again, it's so helpful, so fruitful and encouraging to grow an understanding of the place and the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of each and every one of us. Father, thank you, Lord, for the blessed ministry of the Holy Spirit in each of our lives. Thank you for the many ways he guides us, comforts us, encourages us, lifts us up. Father, more and more pour out your Spirit upon our communities and our society. More and more help us as a church. Fill us anew with your Spirit. Help us to rise up and be the church you want us to be in a world that's hurting in so many ways, a world that's bleeding, a world that's going through so much turmoil and difficulty. Help us to recognize, Lord, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the answer. And as we're empowered by your Spirit to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world will hear the answer to all of our problems and receive it. We thank you and we praise you for the opportunity to be vessels that the Lord can use each and every day. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, today we're looking at the topic of the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll be looking at other passages that draw out some very important truths about the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives as well. We'll be right back.
My heart cries for more.
music of Covenant Church, My Heart Cries. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic of the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit. And we were just read through the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. And just a great reminder, keep in mind that it's important for us to, and very helpful for us to understand and learn more about the ministry of the Holy Spirit as we look at some of his names and or titles in the Word of God. So obviously we refer to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit, but of course some of his other names and titles include the Holy Ghost, our Comforter, our Counselor, the Anointing, our Guide, the Fire of God, the Hand of God, the Voice of God, and other titles as well. And it's helpful to understand that every single title that the Holy Spirit carries teaches us more about who he is and what he does in our lives. Now, amongst other things, you know, I think of this, for example, in the prayer of Jabez. When Jabez prays that prayer, he refers to the Holy Spirit as the hand of God. The prayer is, Lord, bless me indeed, expand my territory, keep your hand mightily upon me, keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. In Jesus' name, amen. A wise prayer for us to pray every single day. What is the hand of God? The hand of God is the Spirit of God. And we're wise to ask every day for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In fact, we're wise to pray every day that God would fill us afresh with his Holy Spirit. Well, you know, if a believer says, well, I was filled with the Holy Spirit last year, why would I need to pray and ask for that again? That's kind of like saying, well, I ate fried chicken last week. Why would I need to eat it again? We need a fresh infilling actually every day. A fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit is wise to ask, actually pray daily for God to fill us anew with his Spirit. And one of the reasons being is because spiritually we leak. We need a fresh infilling because we leak and we use up spiritual energy as well. So asking God for a fresh infilling of his Holy Spirit every day is just a wise way to live and function each and every day. And so, again, he's referred to as the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost. Now, keep in mind, a spirit and ghost are basically the same thing, so don't let that throw you. But also, the Holy Spirit is referred to as a comforter. Now, a very important question and helpful question to ask is, why do we need a comforter? What's the purpose of a comforter? Well, the fact is, we live in a world that's full of pain, that's full of hurt, full of difficulty and trials, and no one can comfort and encourage us and strengthen us like the Holy Spirit can. When we have the Holy Spirit, we can have the comfort and encouragement of God, even in the midst of a very difficult circumstance, even in the midst of a very painful circumstance and painful situation, the Holy Spirit can comfort us in a way that no one else or nothing else does. So again, for someone that wants to know the question, why a comforter? Because the world hurts. The world is painful and brings pain in so many different forms. And many people, in fact, we live in a world where people are always seeking the peace of God, and they're seeking alleviation from the pains of life. And sadly, people often seek those answers in wrong directions. Sadly, you have those who will actually sometimes, because of all the pain they're going through, may think that somehow or another suicide would alleviate their pain. And sadly, if they don't know Jesus, it will only magnify it. The reality is the Comforter is the answer to all the pains, all the hurt, all the troubles of life. The Holy Spirit can comfort us and give us God's grace and his peace to give us strength and encouragement as we need it. So he's the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Ghost. He's the Comforter. He's our Counselor as well. He's the Anointing. He's the Hand of God. He's the Voice of God as well. In the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, a very powerful, just powerful phrase in the beginning of our Bible, in the beginning of God's Word, is Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 tell us, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now notice in verse 2, one of the sentences tell us, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. What does that mean? Well, keep in mind, in the beginning of creation, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were all fully involved in every aspect of the creation. All three were involved in every side, every part of creation. But notice specifically what it points out. It says here in this verse that the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In other words, the Spirit of God was, you might even think of it as being as if kind of like a cloud. He was just hanging in the air. Why was he hanging in the air? He was waiting. What was the Holy Spirit waiting on? He was waiting on the Word of God. The Word of God activated the hand of God. Remember, the Holy Spirit, one of his names is the hand of God. The Holy Spirit is the hand of God. And every time God does anything, he always does it by his hand, by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. God does everything that he does by the power of his Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit was waiting on the Word of God. And when God spoke the Word, the hand of God went into work to cooperate with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to bring about creation. Remember, we serve one God that comes to us in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And they all work in perfect harmony, perfect unity. There's never division amongst them. Yet they're three different persons that work in perfect unity. And so the Holy Spirit, again, went into action to carry out the work of God when he heard the Word of God. And an important lesson for you and I to remember, too, is the Holy Spirit is continually waiting in and around our lives as well. What is he waiting on? He's waiting on us to speak the Word of God. He's waiting on us to pray according to the Word of God. He's waiting on us to obey according to God's Word. And as we do those things, the Spirit of God will reach through us to carry out the work and the will of God. God's will is done as we read and meditate on his Word. God's will is done as we speak the Word of God in faith. God's will is done as we pray the Word of God. And so these are ways whereby we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. And so, amongst other things, the Holy Spirit is also the hand of God. And everything God does, he does it by his hand. So a helpful truth to consider. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, an interesting story, a powerful story, which also teaches us some important insights about the Holy Spirit is found. Again, 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shema pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from this day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Verses 1 through 13, 1 Samuel chapter 16. A number of very powerful and interesting insights about the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit found in this powerful chapter. Here, of course, after Saul has disobeyed God more than one time, and God lets God lets Samuel know that God is going to anoint a new king for himself. And Saul was very upset about that, but he was very much committed to cooperating with what the Lord had in mind. And so the Lord sends Samuel down to the Bethlehem, where God was going to have Samuel anoint one of the sons of Jesse to be the new king. Now notice, God doesn't tell him everything. God just lets him know that it will be one of the sons of Jesse. And keep in mind, you know, you and I as believers have to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. And very many times as the Holy Spirit speaks to us, guides us, directs us, often he'll guide us one step at a time. And very often we might think to ourselves, I want to know the whole plan. I want to know step by step everything God wants me to do in this given situation. But you know, typically, God just doesn't do that. He'll typically guide us one step at a time. So he directs Samuel to go to Bethlehem and that he's going to anoint one of Jesse's sons, but he doesn't tell Samuel which one. Why doesn't he tell Samuel that? Well, keep in mind, life is a journey of faith for every one of God's children. God wants us to learn to listen to him, to trust him, and obey him. That was true for all the Old Testament saints, and it was true for the New Testament. It's true for all of us. God wants us to listen to him, trust him, and obey him. And typically, he'll guide us one step at a time. So Samuel, too, had to trust God to guide his steps in anointing a new king. And so Jesse has seven of his sons to pass before him. And initially, Samuel's a little baffled because he's thinking this is all of Jesse's sons. So he asks Jesse, are there any more? And Jesse says, well, I have one more. He's keeping the sheep. And of course, that's David. Well, Samuel lets him know, bring him here. We won't sit till he comes. And someone calls David. David comes. And then God speaks to him and tells him, arise and anoint him, for this is the one. And so Samuel pours oil on David's head. He anoints David. Why does he anoint him? Well, anointing oil represented the Holy Spirit. And of course, the Holy Spirit anoints him as the oil is poured upon him. And David has a fresh and a mighty anointing upon his life, even at this young age. And God begins to work in his life and through his life in some powerful and important ways. The anointing of God rests upon him. So time and time again in the Old Testament, when a prophet or someone would anoint an individual, that anointing represented the outpouring of the Spirit of God on that person, the ministry of the Spirit of God to begin to work mightily in that person's life as they were anointed of the Lord. So you and I should seek to live a life anointed and listening to the Lord all the time. Every believer is called to be a hearer and a doer of the Word of God and a hearer and doer of the Spirit of God as well. Remember this, if you want to know the will of God, the Word of God is the will of God. But you know, the Bible is not specific in many areas of our lives, as specific as we might would like for it to be. The Bible doesn't say, you, John Jones, will move to Cincinnati and marry Susie Q and live on Brown Street and become an engineer. The Bible's not quite that specific. However, the Holy Spirit fills in the gaps of our lives where the Word of God doesn't say specifically. Now, much of God's Word reveals much of the will of God. But as we read and study the Word of God and as we follow God, the Holy Spirit fills in the gaps. He guides us. He helps us make decisions and set directions and helps us to learn to say yes and no to the right things and no to the wrong things. Listening to the Spirit of God is very important. Thank you, Lord, again for the wonderful ministry of your Holy Spirit. More and more help us to be a people that are listening to you as you speak to us by your word and who are continually listening as you speak to us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to know, Lord, that you talk to every one of your children every day. Help us to have ears to hear. Help us to have ears that discern your voice in the midst of many other voices that may try to come and persuade us in wrong directions. Help us to know, Lord, that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is so important to everything. Help us to live every single day with the goal of seeking to be fully used mightily by you to accomplish your will. Help us to be bold witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ, bold witnesses for your word, and bold and faithful ambassadors that represent you accurately as we're empowered by your Spirit to be your servants and vessels in the world. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray, amen. We're looking today at the topic of the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit, and so we're wise to be growing every day in our understanding of how we live a life cooperating, obeying, and following the Holy Spirit in all that we do. We'll be right back. Music of C.C. Winans, Holy Spirit, come fill this place. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic of the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you, Lord, for each and every person that's a part of our listening family. Thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of us. Bless each and every one of us indeed. Expand each of our territories. Pour out your hand afresh upon each of us. Keep us from evil that we may not cause pain. In the name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. Again, I would just encourage you to make it your goal to pray the prayer of Jabez every single day upon yourself and upon your family as well. And remember, part of that prayer includes asking God for his hand to be mightily upon you. And basic part of what that means is you're asking for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God on your life. Well, amongst other things, again, we mentioned the Holy Spirit. He's known as the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, the Counselor, the Anointing, our Guide. He's also a fire. And the Holy Spirit, it's helpful to understand this. The Holy Spirit is genuinely, he's the fire of God. And he is a fire. I want you to turn your attention with us to the book of Leviticus chapter 6. Leviticus chapter 6, beginning at verse 8, it tells us these words. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. The burnt offering shall be on the hearth upon the altar all night until morning, and the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. And the priest shall put on his linen garment and his linen trousers he shall put on his body, and take up the ashes of the burnt offering which the fire has consumed on the altar. And he shall put them beside the altar. Then he shall take off his garments, put on other garments, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a clean place. And the fire of the altar shall be kept burning on it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order on it. And he shall burn it, and he shall burn on it the fat of the peace offerings. A fire shall always be burning on the altar. It shall never go out. Now keep in mind, as we said, amongst other things, the Holy Spirit is a fire. And so because the Holy Spirit indwells us, he is a fire burning on the inside of us. But keep in mind, he's a unique kind of fire in that, like, fire in the natural, fire in the world consumes and destroys. However, the fire of the Holy Spirit doesn't consume us. It empowers us. It quickens us. The fire of the Holy Spirit helps us to become much more mighty in the power of God, and much more useful in the work and the will of God as well. The fire of God brings life and blessing and power to us, not destruction and not consumption as well. So the Holy Spirit is a fire. In the book of Exodus chapter 3, it has an interesting story about Moses, in which when God first calls Moses, Moses is a shepherd leading his flock out in the desert, to be quite honest. In Exodus chapter 3, it says, Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert, and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Now keep in mind, it speaks of the angel of God. Of course, it was the angel of God and the Spirit of God in that bush. And as I said, amongst other things, the Holy Spirit is a fire. But remember, he's a fire that, in fact, what caught Moses' attention was, typically when a fire is on a bush, the bush will burn up. But this was a fire that was burning in the bush, but it wasn't consuming it. The Spirit of God is to burn inside in the heart and the life of every believer, but it doesn't consume us. It empowers us. It quickens us. It gives us life. It empowers us to be more fruitful vessels in the hands of God. Our job is to keep the fire of the Holy Spirit burning brightly in our lives. You know, for some believers, the Holy Spirit is inside of them, but it's kind of like it's a little candle-like flame. It's a pretty small flame because they're not really doing all they can to make the flame brighter, bigger, and more powerful. But as we read and meditate on the Word of God, that's like pouring fuel on the fire of the Holy Spirit inside of us. He will burn brighter in us and through us. As we pray and seek God in prayer, more and more, the fire of the Holy Spirit will grow brighter and bigger and more powerful in us and working through us as well. As we obey the Word of God, that too causes the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the fire of God to burn brighter and bigger and hotter in us and through us. We're to live in such a way where we're set on fire with the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're to be listeners again. So the Holy Spirit is a fire amongst other things. And the more he burns brightly in us and through us, the more God can use us to do great things, to do exploits in the kingdom of God. But also the Holy Spirit, he's a guide as well. He's our counselor and our guide. We have to learn to listen. I'm reminded of a true story that happened back when 9/11 happened back in 2001, that tragedy. Well, after you may recall the tragic incident where a plane flew into the first of the two buildings of the Twin Towers. Well, people in the second tower didn't know what was going on, and many people had come down to a certain level in the tower, and they were just waiting. Well, sadly, someone came on the intercom and said, "Everything's okay, you can go back to your offices." Now, we now know that was a tragic mistake, whoever it was that made that announcement. But of course, at that time, the people, the office workers didn't know. Well, it was a crowd of people waiting on that level of the building. Well, after they got the announcement, people started to head back to their offices. However, there was one woman that was amongst them, and she heard what the intercom said, but the Holy Spirit told her, "Get out now and take everyone who will follow you. Get out of this building right now and take everybody who will follow you." Well, she had to make a decision. Either she was going to follow the voice of authority on the intercom, or she was going to follow what the Holy Spirit was telling her. She decided to follow the Holy Spirit. She started yelling, "We need to get out of here as fast as we can." Well, about one-third of the crowd followed her, and they couldn't use the elevators. They had to hurry down the stairs. This woman and about a third of the crowd, well, by the grace of God, this woman and that third of the crowd made it safely out of the building before all the other incidents took place. Sadly, the other two-thirds of the crowd that were waiting on that floor perished that day. That's one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit, this is an example of him being a guide. He'll guide us in so many ways. The Holy Spirit will guide us in making decisions, big ones and little ones and all the in-between ones as well. We have to have ears to hear, though. Keep in mind, we're to be listeners and hearers and doers of God's Word. So he's our guide, and he's going to guide us to safety in many instances in our lives, but we've got to hear him and do what he tells us. We need to be hearers and doers of God's Word. So we're called to be believers who are cooperating fully with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to all of us actually every single day. But it's our decision to decide whether or not we're going to listen to him and do what he tells us. We need to be hearers and doers of the Word of God and hearers and doers of what the Spirit of God tells us as well. He does speak to all of us, but now keep in mind, it doesn't mean that every voice you hear in your mind is the Holy Spirit. Many times the Holy Spirit speaks to you in your mind and through your mind, but some voices are not the Holy Spirit. So as we read and study the Word of God, it sharpens our ability to hear the Holy Spirit and to discern His voice. We're not nearly as easily misled when we're full of the Word of God. So reading and studying the Word of God helps us to hear more clearly and to hear more fine-tunedly in our lives the voice of the Holy Spirit as He guides us and directs us in our lives. I want to share another story, a powerful story that comes from a book by Toby Mack entitled City on Our Knees. And it's a story entitled Searching for Nadia. But just in a nutshell, it was a powerful story about a little fifth grade girl named Nadja Bloom, who had an autistic-like disorder. One day, this little girl wandered out into the Florida Everglades on a nature walk, and she got lost. Well, a huge search was put out. Law enforcement and volunteers went out. They even had helicopters involved, but they looked for her for a day, for 2 days, for 3 days, for 4 days, but they just didn't find her. And finally, sadly, they decided we're going to give up because they thought, thought all hope was lost. But there was a gentleman that was a member of his family's church. He didn't know the family well, didn't know Nadja, little Nadja, very well. But the Holy Spirit told this man named James King, find Nadja. He heard the Holy Spirit tell him, find Nadja. So even though the law enforcement had said to call off the search, he wrapped up his pant legs and took a few snacks with him and headed out into the swamp looking for her. And he was speaking the word of God from Proverbs and trusting God and looking God to guide him. But he heard the Holy Spirit tell him, find Nadja. And he felt that the Holy Spirit was telling him to walk in the direction of the sun. And he kept walking and listening. And after he got so far into the swamps, he would call out, Nadja, Nadja. Still nothing. But after 2 hours, he called out, Nadja. And he heard a little voice not far away that said, what? Well, he followed the direction of the voice and he found little Nadja sitting on a log. She was kind of polka dotted with insect bites, but other than that, she seemed to be doing very well for a little girl who just spent 4 days in a dangerous Florida swamp by herself. She really appreciated the snacks that he brought. She was a little disappointed that he didn't bring M&Ms, but she was glad that he had found her. Well, he called in, and they were able to walk through the swamp. They couldn't get in by another means, apparently, so they had to walk through with a stretcher. They loaded little Nadja and brought her out. But they said, James King is a hero. But James King was quick to say, it was the Lord that guided me step by step. Well, you see, the Holy Spirit spoke to James King, and James King responded in obedience, and the Holy Spirit guided him. We all have that same Holy Spirit working inside of us. He's the one that empowers us to be vessels that God uses. He's the one that empowers us as we use our spiritual gifts to do the work and the will of God. The Holy Spirit's at work in the life of every single believer. Again, He's the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Ghost. He's our comforter, our counselor. He's the anointing. He's our guide. He's a fire. He's the hand of God. He's the voice of God. These and so, so much more. Every day, we're to seek to live as available vessels through which the Spirit of God can work. Because remember, the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit is the power of God. And the fact is, God can do the impossible in us and through us as we simply live as available vessels. May it be your goal every day to be just that. And remember this, the fire of God will burn brighter and brighter in your life as you do certain things. You know, like, for example, spiritual habits are like pouring gasoline on the fire of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Reading and meditating on the Word of God is a way of pouring fuel on the fire of the Holy Spirit inside of us. Reading and meditating on God's Word every day. Praying every day, that's pouring fuel on the fire. Obeying what the Word of God says, that's pouring fuel on the fire. Worshiping and thanking and praising God, that's pouring fuel on the fire. Walking in the love of God, all of these are things we can do to cause the fire of God inside of us, the Holy Spirit, to burn brighter and brighter and brighter. May it be your goal to burn brightly every day so that you'll be a vessel through which the Spirit of God will work mightily through every single day. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us each and every day. Help us to know, Lord, that you want to guide and direct us by your Spirit daily, that you want to empower us to be fruitful vessels that can be used mightily by your Spirit every single day. Help us, Lord, to be wise enough to pray for a fresh infilling of your Holy Spirit each and every day. Help us to be wise enough to always be listening for the Holy Spirit's voice each and every day. And help us to live every day as yielded vessels, vessels that have a yes, Lord attitude, whatever you want. Thank you for the opportunity to be vessels through which you can work to accomplish your will in these ways. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. We've been looking today at the topic of the ministry and power of the Holy Spirit. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.